Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Junkies here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, hi, howdy.
And on the bullpen, Bone Chris Zook.
Even a safer distance away from Brian. Happy New Year to everyone.
Yes, indeed. We'll start with a Happy New Year. Welcome back from the break to all our listeners. And, I guess we all got what we wanted for Christmas because the hot stove finally
got fire today.
Got on fire. Yeah. So we are, of course, taping this Thursday night, broadcasting Friday morning. But thankfully, this news came out earlier today. We all kind of thought this was coming. Cleveland certainly gave every indication that they wanted to make this happen. But I think maybe the fact that they threw in Carlos Carrasco in dealing Francisco Lindor was kind of a surprise.
I think that was talked about at least a little bit. I mean, you talk to some insiders and they did seem to think that, that they would use Lindor as a chip to kind of get off of Carrasco's money. I think that we've known for a long time that the Dolans are cheap, especially with the Cleveland franchise. I think we've known for a long time that they would like to shed as much salary as possible. And I think at the end of the day, what has ended up happening is that they've just clearly indicated that they want to get off with the pandemic. They want to get off as much salary as possible. And so they are shedding all of the big salaries and all the players that are going to be coming up for big salaries. And, you know, for Cleveland fans, sorry, Jared, it sucks. I've made this comment and this thought process before that, you know, that sports, especially baseball, are exempt from all these antitrust laws because they are seen to be a public trust. And when the owner of the team goes ahead and completely screws a community over and a fan base over like this, it just feels like they're not acting in the best interests of the fans anymore. They're acting in their own best interests. If you can't afford to run a baseball team, then sell it to somebody who can and sell it to somebody who's going to try and win every year, because this is a disgrace. It's a disgrace to the team and it's a disgrace to baseball.
Okay, hold on one second here. Sure it is. But you know what? We've gone through this many a time.
And I get just as mad every time.
The hot stove's hot, but Brian's even hotter.
He's on fire. I mean, first of all, what I think Brian's missing the lead here. I mean, congratulations, the Blue Jays getting Lindor, right? I mean, that, wait a second.
Yeah, you're right. Me getting upset at the crumbling state of decay of baseball is more important than the fact that the Jays didn't get a player. You're right. Well, I missed the lead.
I thought that was a fait accompli that the Jays were. You're talking about, sir, Cleveland doesn't want to win. Does the Jays want to win? Because they've sat there and done nothing this offseason.
I'm disappointed. I'm incredibly disappointed that they didn't go out and get him, but I'm not going to assess the Jays offseason in its entirety until the Jays offseason is done.
Okay, fair enough. But here's the thing. I get it, Brian. You're upset. Hey, I'm upset as well. I'm a Montreal Expo fan, so I lived through every big player left, and they gutted that team, and they left Montreal.
And Miami sucked, Marlins, it
sucked. All hey, it sucks that there's not a team there, let alone that. Yeah, this is no good, obviously not. But, I mean, the one thing which is even worse is because Cleveland is one of those kind of, like, you know, they deserve – they're like – they should be like the Cubs, where there's fan faithful people like Jared who aren't just, you know, come on the bandwagon. They've been there forever, and this is how they get treated, right? I mean, you know, they don't want to win, and this is what happens, right? They had their window, they had their chance, and now it's like we're going to just jettison everyone with a salary. That said, is I hate to say this, no different than what's going on in the hot stove, the collusion and stuff, as this is the only big, really, movement so far. There's at least 50, 60% of the free agents still available, and spring training's come up in February. So we could talk endlessly of what's going on. It's the same thing that just gets regurgitated over and over again. And the problem is that baseball, despite themselves, people like us still follow it and still like it when they actually are on the playing field. But yeah, today's not a good day for baseball. I'll agree with that.
I mean, it's a good day if you're a Mets fan who held stock in the fact that the new owner might change some things. And sure enough, he had promised to, you know, open his pocketbook. And as it stands, so Carrasco, his next two seasons are $12 million, and then a team option in 2023 for $14 million, and then Lindor arbitration, I think is about like $17.75 million, but, you know, obviously could be signed to a longer term deal if the team and he and his agent can sign something. But even with that, they're apparently still $30 million shy of the luxury tax threshold, and the Mets could add more pieces. Steve Cohen has said he's interested. Springer and Bauer are both, of course, still free agents. And
you know, the funny thing is these are all the players the Blue Jays were looking
to get. there's other prominent starters. And the thing is, you know, the rotation for the Mets ranked 26th in the majors in ERA last season, 5.37 ERA. This is Anthony DiComo, who covers the Mets for MLB.com, that I'm quoting. So certainly, you know, there are other starters other than Bauer.
Well, I mean, they missed a lot of man hours, though, right? Like, they missed a lot of they missed a lot of real man hours from that rotation. I mean,
right? But if they're looking to make a splash, and if Cohen is honestly, like, you know, fine with opening the pocketbook as a new owner, they could.
Well, I mean, like, their rotation is incredibly solid already, though. I don't really think that who are they going to add? What space are they going to add them into?
This is the whole rotation. So this, of course, also includes relievers as well. So they could look at, you know, what they've got in the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Yes,
hey,
where's Syndergaard, though, right? Like, he's still there, right? I'm not stupid here.
Yeah, you know.
So Syndergaard, DeGrom, Carrasco are your 1, 2, 3, but like.
Stroman.
Yeah, 4 or 5. Yeah.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, so DeGrom, Syndergaard, Carrasco, Stroman are 4 starters.
Yeah, and but if you're like, hey, I want them.
Mets fans are huge on David Peterson. Hey, they
Look what the Padres did, Brian. Right, they loaded up. They had a decent starting rotation, and they just, you know, they just keep adding to it. Right. I mean, if you've got a billionaire who just signed up for this team, right, he's wants to make a big splash. And you know, they're competing in that market with the Yankees, right? And so that's they're sending a message, right? They you know, they think that division.
I think they're probably more in the market to take that money and splash it on an outfielder than they are.
Well, possibly, there's no doubt. But I think Michael's right about that. You know, you certainly can't hurt. You can't have enough arms, right? Take a look at what the Dodgers did, right? I mean, my goodness, right? Like, people saw what they did in the offseason, and they just reloaded. And it's sort of like defensemen in hockey, right, as an analogy. You can't have enough of these guys, right?
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Because you have to work under the assumption at least one or two of them are going to miss time during the regular season.
Probably fair, yeah.
Right. And then also you might have the, you know, we still might be under COVID, right? Where the rosters could be still expand. There still be could expanded rosters for this year. We're not too sure.
Well, exactly how that's if they're going to play under COVID, then there's the chance that these people will have to go on like IL for COVID reasons. So
they're going to play.
I mean, well, I know they're going to play, but you're going to have, they're going to be mandatory, like, you know, sequestered while they, if they test positive. So right. Then having extra arms,
I totally
and
agree.
Especially extra quality arms, like, you know, if you can get a Cy Young winner, that's why fair. Not?
Yeah, I mean, I just think, you know, it's never, and plus also then you can just use that for leverage down the road if you want to trade or something like that, right? I mean, but I just think especially this year, I mean, just look at the numbers. We're taping this early in January, and the numbers are through the roof in North America, both on both California sides of the border, right? It's just crazy, right? So, you know, I know baseball is going to play again like they did last year, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be COVID friendly, right? Like that's you know, everyone's going to skirt on through, right? Unless until we really get starting to get the vaccine rolled out here, which it doesn't look like right now. Anyways, yeah, I think you know what if they have money to spend, they have cap room, they would spend on both sides, I think, right? On the pitching side and on hitting side. The guy's a billionaire. He doesn't care. He wants to make the splash. The Mets wants to get back in that division on at least the wild card, at least entry about that, and go from there. I mean, let's say this. Thank goodness the hot stove heated up, because if it was just the Padres doing stuff, it would be quite ridiculous, because
it's just trades though. There's only been one free agent deal handed out over $30 million.
And fair enough. And I was gonna just say, I just still say the C word, right? It's collusion, right? This is crazy. We're into January. Spring training will be in February, and there is no movement of free agents. Yes, there's been a couple trades, which is good to talk about and stuff, but there's a vast amount of players still available all over the place. And someone has to break on this, you would think, because you got to field the team, right? You got to have enough players, and you want to have good players. And I mean, I would agree with you, Brian, like, hey, it's not done yet. So the Blue Jays and all teams are still out there to make their marks. But, you know, eventually some of these players will get signed, you would think.
I think it is telling, Chris, that you mentioned, you know, the Mets looking to make a splash, especially because they play in New York and obviously are the second team, play second fiddle to the Yankees, and needing to generate fans and draw eyeballs with this kind of thing, especially with this new owner, Steve Cohen, looking to kind of like bank on his investment in this team. It reminds me of, you know, the Clippers always playing second fiddle to the Lakers and then trying to make the move with, you know, Kawhi and Paul George. With what's out there still, I feel like the Yankees have a chance to kind of, you know, pull the Lakers and mess things up for the Mets and, you know, maybe get a George Springer or a Trevor Bauer.
I'm hearing that they're actually kind of going bargain shopping from what I've been, my old man, obviously the biggest Yankees fan we know, has been sending me a lot of updates about what the Yankees are doing this off season. And it seems like they're not actively going shopping for the top of the top.
The problem with the Yankees, I feel sometimes, is that the sandbagging can happen. Is that they say one thing in the press or whatever, is that they, and then the next thing you know, they're just going to come out and, you know, Garrett Cole gets signed for a ridiculous amount
but everybody knew that they were in on Cole.
Sure, I know that, but I mean, I'm
and everybody
saying,
knew that they were in on
wanted
Stanton
to,
too.
Right? Sure. But here's the thing is, but they still overbid for sort of those guys, right? They made sure they were the top bid that they, you know, something like this can maybe move because they had that kind of, you know, let's say 10, you know, every kind of 10 years or so, the Mets kind of come back into it. And then the Yankees push back, right? The Yankees want to get a player. They'll go out there and try and get a player. And I wouldn't be surprised if they would get one of those that's out there. I would still say DJ LeMay is the one that I'm always interested about why they haven't signed him yet or But maybe they are going bargain this year. I'd find that hard to believe, but But, you know, this is...
or this is more of a poker move by Cashman to, like, I keep prices down.
I mean, everyone's trying to keep the price down. That's the problem, right? It's just no one's making any big deals right now.
Well, I mean, it sounds like the Yankees are, you know, not really... they're not planning on meeting. They're wanting LeMahieu to match their terms. And I've heard, like, you know, while the Mets are chasing after outfielders and players like Lindor and Carrasco, and, you know, they're linked with Springer. You know, they're linked with Chris Bryant. The only they're like one of the bigger names that I've heard the Yankees connected with is Yasiel Puig. They're bargain hunting. The Yankees are looking to not spend money. They're not willing to match the salary demands and the year demands of the best player that they've had since the last DJ. And they just seem to not be interested in signing good free agents. I don't know what the heck the Yankees are doing. The division is there for the taking with the Rays deciding that they don't want to win it either. So, you know, I don't, that entire division is just sitting on their hands right now.
I mean, theoretically, Brian, is if the Blue Jays would get off a bit of sitting there, right? If you're saying the division is available, why wouldn't it be available for the Blue Jays, right? They made the wild card last year. They were in on the dance there. They have a lot of these young nucleus. Why wouldn't they come and, you know, like Springer is definitely, you know, Lindor, they were in there. Springer, they've been told.
Maybe, but the pitching is still such a huge question mark, and I don't think there's enough arms out there now.
Get Bauer. Why don't you get Bauer?
I hate Trevor Bauer, the human being, but if they could sign Trevor Bauer, Trevor Bauer, the pitcher, then sure, why not?
Yeah. I'm just saying is somewhere in there, if that division is for the taking, right, then it's just like anything, any fan base, right? You want to see your team make a move so that they have the best chance to win the division, to be there, right? I mean, and so it's just, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. Hopefully something starts moving here in the next couple of weeks before we get to spring training. But, I mean, that said is, you know, if the Yankees just stay put, they're still not too bad, right?
They're still probably a 95-win team.
Right, and they're still probably the favorites for that division as of now. I mean, I think everyone else is actually, you know, no one's gone ahead of, like, the Rays have come down, the Blue Jays have stayed static, the Red Sox are whatever, and so is Baltimore. So it's not like it's, you know, it's if the Yankees just showed up today, they'd be, yeah, I think you're right. I think they're in the 95 to 100 win range just with the team they have. So maybe they can stand pat and see what shakes out in the landscape in the next couple of weeks, and maybe they'll just make these low bids, which is kind of weird for a change for the Yankees.
We should mention, so the other side of the Mets deal is Andrés Giménez, infielder, and Ahmed Rosario, and then pitcher Josh Wolf and outfielder Isaiah Green going the other way. So certainly not the yield that
I think. No, definitely some okay prospects, some guys that may turn out, but, like, we're not talking about the golden goose for what is Lindor, the fourth best player in baseball.
Yeah.
And, like, a really serviceable pitcher in Cookie.
But I mean, really, is there any difference between Mookie Betts going to the Dodgers last year and with the
Red Sox? Because Verdugo was seen as a blue chip prospect.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, still, I'd take the Dodgers, and they won a World Series with him, right? So, you know,
I'm not going to sit here and defend the Red Sox trading away the second best player in baseball.
Right. That's what I'm
just like. I'm not going to sit here and defend the Cleveland baseball franchise trading away the third or fourth best player in baseball. But Verdugo is legitimately a player.
There's a chance. I get you on that, but I'm just still saying, like, you're just talking about, like, of the top five players have been moved now twice in the off seasons, you know, the last 2 years.
Both for money reasons.
Yeah, sure. There's no doubt. But again, you're also talking, well, I mean, with Boston, that's ridiculous. Cleveland, at least you can make a point. I'll tell you this, Cleveland can't get fast enough to change their name and put a new logo on, because they need to slap something on this franchise to get the stink off what just happened today. Right?
They've only got six players making over $1 million right now.
Well, this sounds like the Expos all of a sudden. Wow.
I think that's the number. Let me see if I can pull up the report. I think it was from Fine Sand or whatever the heck. I'll pull it up. I'll find it. I did see something about it, and so I'll give me a second and I'll pull it up.
Michael, like while Brian's doing that, is there anything heating up there? Because I know you kind of look at the sites there about the hot stove. Is there been any rumblings of people, you know, close to deals, or is anything? I know we just went through the holidays because that's kind of a lull a bit, but has there been anything that's kind of brewing?
So I do follow MLB trade rumors on socials and on the site itself. There's like, in terms of the big names, no. You know, like we're talking, you know, like, so the Dodgers are looking to shore up their bullpen. And so they've been linked to the likes of Liam Hendricks, Brad Hand, and Kirby Yates.
I like Kirby Yates a lot.
This is LA Times' Jorge Castillo who has reported on this. Certainly all solid.
I heard Liam Hendricks, actually, Blue Jays, there's interest in that too. Have you heard
Listen,
that
the Jays just need to sign some. If they get Kirby Yates, Liam Hendricks, Brad Hand, I don't care. Just give me some more. Give me some more bullpen guys, please. Yeah,
there's no doubt about that. I mean,
they won't, because they never have. They're always, and I can't really fault them for it, because they've been legitimately really good at this. They dumpster dive for bullpen arms and usually end up coming away with good players. I ended up, so after this trade, Cleveland has shed $44 million off their payroll. Now only five players expected to make over $1 million on their roster: Jose Ramirez, Roberto Perez, Austin Hedges, Nick Whitgren, and Ahmed Rosario. That's the entire list.
Wow.
Who are making more than seven figures.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the average salary? Cause it, you know, wow, that's a lot of players making just the minimum salary. So, oh my goodness. Yeah. But I mean, I guess if you're shedding payroll, right, this is the way to do it. And you can, and COVID unfortunately is an excuse you can sort of use right now. I mean, for ownership, which is not, I mean, legitimate, but this is what can happen. Right. And it's unfortunate because this franchise had a good run there. They were like the Jays a bit, where they had that window where they had, well, they got to the World Series, right? And so, and you know, they've been in play, and that window just shut pretty quick there. So that's how that works, right? I mean, if you give away your best players for pretty much, you know, 2 cents on the dollar, then you're not, you know, you've pretty much have told your fan base, well, you know, hey, cheer on the Spiders in 2024.
Feel free to cheer for the Royals, the Cleveland Royal-esques. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So they're on the hook right now for just shy of $23 million worth of payroll this year.
Is that even possible?
$22,950,000 worth of payroll.
I mean, that's Marlins-like, right?
You know, they have to, whatever, have a, it's what, a 36-man roster coming, or a 30-man roster coming up this year. So yeah, like considerably less than $1 million per player.
Rough stuff. Back to your question, Chris, though, about, you know, rumors around signings. Like, most of the stuff has been around trade talks. I mean, more teams have been linked to possible trades than to just outright signings, and this is part of that schmallusion
right, and discussion. So we've had actually, you know, some big names got traded so far, which is
right, and I do want to get to that. So the Mets already made this trade. USA Today's Bob Nightingale talking that the Mets and Cubs have apparently had recent talks about Chris Bryant.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the Mets are sniffing around a lot of, are sniffing around quite a few third basemen. Cause I've also heard that they have asked about, which Seager do the Mariners have? Kyle Seager. They've been asking the Mariners about
I think
Kyle
Detroit
Seager
has
well.
Bob Seager. So yeah, I think it's,
that's a good joke.
It's like rock.
Oh my God.
If, for the young people, you can Google that out there.
Just look for the Ford.
Several bullet band, baby.
Darn right.
Yeah. So trades that have happened. I mean, you alluded to the Blake Snell deal earlier, and obviously the Padres very busy claiming arms.
Sure. I mean, Darvish and Blake Snell, like those, I mean, and if the way I read it is they didn't give up their top prospects for either one in the deal, right? So, I mean, you've got two fantastic arms now in that, where you offset where Clevinger isn't going to be available this year because of injury. And, you know, you just added a Cy Young and someone who's been in the Cy Young conversation. The Padres, hey, they're going for it this year, right? They've actually, well, they've been going for it for probably a couple years, but, you know.
And they're still going to end up losing the division by 10 games.
That sure,
was,
sure, sure.
That was the enough, great but, joke. I think that was on maybe the Effectively Wild group. Someone posted that one. I love that.
But that's but at least, you know, the thing is they're you know, they're not standing pat, right? I mean, they could just say, the Dodgers have it by, you know, 20 games or whatever. Maybe they'll knock off 10 games off the division win this year and you know, make a play in the postseason, right? But I mean, I'm always four teams going for it, right? I mean, they're just, especially in baseball, you never know when your window is. I mean, the Dodgers could, I mean, they got their one World Series. There's no guarantee they'll get back and win it, right? They, you know, they've been kicking at it and they finally got it last year, but you know, maybe
they return a very strong team.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you know, there's always this, there is a hangover effect to winning the World Series.
And it's just hard to repeat in baseball now, right? Like, I mean, you don't have like the Yankees of the late 90s there, or, you know, these juggernaut teams. Like, I mean, the Dodgers are, let's say, a juggernaut team, but let's see, you know, they've just won one, right? That doesn't make it a dynasty.
Right. And, you know, the Padres had spent some time building up the farm system, and why not use that to get yourself,
and like
couple,
I said,
a couple of like fantastic pitchers to go up against the Dodgers and really put up a fight.
Sure, and I think if I read this right, that they still have some pretty good prospects underneath them too, and they have Tatis, who's, you know, definitely one of the young stars. I mean, geez, this guy, I mean, he could be in for the MVP this year, right? I mean, he's just that good, right? He's worth the admission if we ever get to watching baseball live down the road here, right? But yeah, I mean, I like what they did, right? They, you know, and Blake Snell, I'm sure he's pretty happy to be out in Tampa Bay after what happened in the World Series last year. So I mean, you know, I mean, Darvish, you know, that's a great pickup too, and the Cubs look like they're selling, right? They'll probably get rid of Brian somewhere in the next couple weeks.
Small market Cubs got to sell.
Yeah,
the Cubs. Hold the whole damn franchise, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you want to talk? So, like, projected starting rate. So I was on Fangraphs. The projected starting rotation for the Padres now. So Yu Darvish, Blake Snell, Dinelson Lamet, Chris Paddock, and Adrian Morejon. Like,
that's great.
That's a very.
That's
good.
Incredible.
To just like at the turn of a, you know, switch, be that electric a starting five rotation, especially in the West, you know, where you do get a couple softer opponents, and then you have to face the Dodgers on a regular basis. You want
Also, I mean, you know, we are getting expanded playoffs from now on, which means that they are going to have to condense how quickly they have, you know, these series are. So I think it's going to be, you're going to end up seeing it be a lot like this past postseason, where you're going to need more good starting pitchers in order to be able to contend with that. You know, because you're going to have guys right. go on every yeah. single day.
Right. You need the flexibility too, right? You need guys that can come in at different settings and different opportunities. And again, I just think you just can't have enough arms in any situation, right? I mean, especially what you saw it last year, right? In the postseason. I mean, you know, what was it? The Rays used 9-10 pitchers in a game, right? So, I mean, that's just, you know, wherever they are, if they're starters or they're the middle or they're in the back end of the bullpen or in the bullpen there, you know, just load it up. And so that's where the Blue Jays, I feel it's like somewhere they're going to have to address that before we get into the season this year. Right. Or they're just going to be in the same situation. Right.
Well, I mean, they did kind of deal like address it. Right. They went and they did get some guys to help out. They still do need more. Don't get me wrong. They still absolutely need more, but
it's not over yet. I'll give you that, Brian, you know, in a couple of weeks they can surprise, and maybe they got to get, I would think they would be nice to get one of those stoppers would be fantastic, but maybe you're right. Maybe they just go on the cheap again and just try and find something.
Who knows? I certainly don't. But I'm not going to judge it until it's done.
So Micah, so you're saying in the hot stove, there really isn't much of a hot stove right now.
Yeah, like there's still obviously like a bunch of teams rumored to be, you know, sniffing around.
But it's more trades guys. Than it is free agents.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Like a lot of the beat writers and folks who cover MLB are talking about, you know, the Mets being open for more trades, that, you know, certain players, like any of the, like the deals that have happened so far have been like, you know, small money, or like, you know, like the Mariners re-signing Ruinas Elias to a minor league deal, right? You know, this is a guy who's pitched for them a couple times over the past half decade or so. It's they're not the names, right? Like this is, and we went through this the last couple of off seasons where the biggest names were some of the last chips to fall. And it was the, like, you know, nickel and dime stuff that the teams were kind of.
I think there's going to be a lot of guys without contracts, and it's going to be really unfortunate, or a lot of guys that are going to have to accept contracts for not a lot. I think that even, you know, because of safety reasons and money reasons, you're going to see a lot of guys going over to Japan and Korea as well. We've already seen some, like one of my favorite players, Justin Smokes, already gone, left for Japan.
So, well, because they might get better deals there. Like, you know what I mean? Like they just,
I think a lot of those mid-level guys are going to see better deals there.
Well, yeah. Tomoyuki Sugano opted not to sign.
Yeah, which is huge.
And returns to the NPB for the coming year. You know, that's like a guy who was considered a possibility and didn't like what was on offer and, you know, is taking his talents back. And I think, yeah, you're right. You're going to see some of this as we get closer to the regular season and you have that period in which, you know, I mean, it's true. They're trying to depress the prices and certain players are going to, they're playing chicken, and certain of them are going to, you know, opt to sign for less, and some of them are going to take their talents elsewhere.
I would think if we were going to see some signings, they were definitely going to be in the 1-3 year ranges at
there. Most, yeah. Right? I because can't imagine.
You're just going to go, you're going to say, I'm going to roll it a bit, and hopefully the market gets better after the pandemic.
You're going to say, hopefully in 1 year, maybe next summer, things are a little more, you know, like the virus is like the vaccine is fully implemented and things change and people are able to get back into the stadiums. And you say, I'm going to bet on myself for this 1 year and then try to cash in next year and just like risk it for this 1 year. Before we go, I do want to tip my cap to Bianca Smith. She was newly hired minor league coach for the Boston Red Sox and becomes the first Black woman to land a job as a coach in professional baseball. This was Ian Brown's story on MLB.com. And 29 years old, she has space to continue to progress within the team and within the coaching positions. And this is a great day for her.
It's a great day for baseball.
Yeah, it's good. It's just good. It's just more progressive. You know, outlook for baseball, and hopefully it opens up the gates for more people to be involved. And that's just only a good sign for baseball. So that's a great hire.
All right. Well, with that, on that positive note, we will end it with our hat tips to Bianca Smith. We will be back next Friday.
Just out of curiosity, is Hall of Fame voting coming up soon, or did they delay it this year?
They are doing it. Currently in the process, and based on the tracker, it's kind of looking like nobody's going to get in.
Oh boy. So we got to talk about that next week or next couple of weeks. Cause that's always there's, if that's true, I can't believe that. Cause this is, if there's a year for the big names like Bonds and Clements.
It doesn't look like those guys are going to get in. It looks like they're not going to get in.
Hey, that's a good teaser for maybe the next couple of weeks.
It's a good postscript to 2020, I suppose, right?
Isn't that done? We're done now, right?
This is the sequel. We're in overtime.
Part two.
All right. Well, with that, we will end it. And folks, thanks for tuning in. Stick around and, of course, tune in at 1 p.m. for the pity party.
Pity party!
Strike three, you're out.